Dan Meekus.
Please have a seat. Have a seat. Boy, when Rebecca talked about wait on the Lord, I'm thinking, wait on the Lord. And then she pulls this huge dumbbell out. Different kind of weight, if you will. That was, watching her was sort of like watching a movie. We don't watch TV, but if we did, all I would have needed would have been popcorn with salt and butter on it. So her heart just, like the little girl over there that was singing that song, when there's no peace on earth, there's peace in Christ. And boy, does she bring that to the table in a beautiful way. Okay, a couple of ground rules of what's happening with what I'm doing today. What a privilege it is to be up here, first of all. And when I think about that, thanking Bob and Jeannie, Barney, Vicki, Alan, Shanti, Jan, the leadership that we have and the word that we have is so fantastic. So, for this morning, all the quotes and any of the word that I'm using will be available after fellowship. Practically everything I say is going to be here. So don't write it down. There's some classic quotes, but trust me, they're all here in paper. So sort of like a surprise in the Cracker Jack box. They're already there. All right. The title of my teaching today is Amazing Grace, Part 1. Now, Part 1 would assume then that there's going to be a Part 2, correct? Which there will. All right. So you're all going to get copies of this. I'm going to start the teaching off with something that you might think doesn't relate to Amazing Grace, which is the title of what I'm teaching on. But it's something, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we've been back east so for 4 or 5 weeks, so a lot of stuff has happened. But when the hurricane warning hit California, all right, at that point, Shadow Mountain Church, their pastor was leaving for the summer, and they had invited this pastor in from Tennessee. Well, we had just been in Tennessee, in the part that this pastor came from. So Dr. Jeremiah had called Robert Morgan, who's a pastor, but a very meek, mild-mannered guy, and he came out to Shadow Mountain, and he's standing there, and he said, well, Dr. Jeremiah told me to preach up a storm. And everybody looked at him because the hurricane was coming. And I think we canceled here, correct? Yeah. I mean, so you're right. So all that was happening. But I love what he said, because I love visuals. Working with kids, I encourage visuals. Just like that song with that girl. Her eyes. Yes, I'm a speech therapist, and I work with people's speech. Her eyes communicated speech even more than her words communicated speech. That was fantastic. Okay, stay focused. So here's Robert Morgan at Shadow Mountain Church, and Dr. Jeremiah told him to preach up a storm. But he said these words first. Now, this would be the beginning of what I'm going to be doing for teaching. So here's what he said. Whether the weather was good or whether the weather was not. Whether the weather was cold or whether the weather was hot. Whatever the weather, we weathered the weather, whether we liked it or not. Oh, I loved it. I just loved the way the words alliterated. They came together. They snapped, they popped, they crackled. They could have been Rice Krispie. I love that. So anyway, so there was that. And while we were coming back from there, he was out here. And oh, side note, real quick on a side note. When we were in Texas, which was after Tennessee, 100 degrees, 105, 106, 109, 110, 112 degrees, Texas. A little church in the middle of nowhere, a dirt road, country road. And I drive by, and they got a little marquee in the front, and the little marquee in the front is kind of wiggly-waggly. It's kind of taped together. The screen door is open, probably no air conditioning. But somebody on the marquee had put a little stickum, just a little tiny one, not a big one, not even a piece of paper, just a little stickum. So I'm in the middle of nowhere. I stop the car. Nobody's going to come and run me over because it's like a path. I mean, the car can just barely get through. I go up to the little marquee, and I'm reading what it says on the little marquee, 100 and some degrees. And a little note said, probably the pastor's inside getting ready for his teaching. And he said, "You think it's hot now? Just wait." I loved it. Meaning what we do now makes all the difference in the world. So I just thought that was really beautiful. Dagmar, you're going to have to help me this. When I do the teaching, at the end there will be a song, Amazing Grace. But you'll have to remind me, hey, Dan, don't forget. So I'm going to say something about it, but you know, talk about a senior moment. Mine might be a juvenile moment in the sense of, am I for real? Yes, I'm for real. So, all right. Amazing grace. This will all connect together, not like a chipmunk crossing, but it will straighten out in terms of connecting. R.C. Sproul is a theologian, pastor, professor at college, and I've always liked hearing him because whenever he's doing a teaching, he uses a chalkboard, an old-fashioned chalkboard. You can't see it because you're on radio, but you can just hear him writing notes to the church or to the students as he's teaching. And I love hearing the sound of the chalk on the chalkboard. That's R.C. Sproul. So he was teaching during his first years of teaching. He wrote a book called Holy, Holy, Holy. And again, all of what I'm saying will be on papers, so you don't have to remember it in the sense of writing it down. But his second year of teaching, he was at a college, university, and he was teaching Old Testament history to 250 college freshmen. Well, he required three small papers. Now, I say small. I've been in a bachelor's program for doing term papers. I've been in a master's program for doing term papers. I've been in a doctoral program doing a doctoral thesis. He wasn't asking for any of that. He was asking for a 2 to 3 page small, tiny report on something both for September, October, and November. So he required these. Well, November came along, and 25 of the 250 students missed the deadline. Well, Dr. Sproul said in September, he showed kindness and leniency. They smiled and basically said, thank you. Next month comes along, October, hallelujah, 50 students missed the paper. And he graciously gave them 3 more days. In the Bible, 3 means complete, so he gave them 3 more days. Now, Dr. Sproul at this point was one of the most popular professors on the campus. November comes along, 150, and Jack Myers goes, oh, yes, 150, 150 students failed to turn in their papers. So what does he do? He gave them failing grades. I hear, yes, yeah, right, exactly, yes, right, okay, finally. One student, Fitzgerald is his name. I've never met the guy, Fitzgerald, but Fitzgerald's the name. He cries, foul, foul, not fair. And he organizes a protest of all the other students, and not just from the class, but from elsewhere. Dr. Sproul reminded him, at Fitzgerald, he said, look, if it's justice that you seek, I could give you an F for September and October and November, all 3 months. So he reminded that he could do that, and he reflected on the whole semester, and here's what R.C. Sproul said, and I can imagine him writing it on a chalkboard. His words, love it. And he has a very deep voice, by the way, so I'm getting my voice ready. He said, these students had grown accustomed to my grace. In September, they were amazed by my grace. In October, they were surprised by my grace. But by November, they were demanding grace. They had forgotten that grace is not an inalienable right. It's not an entitlement that you deserve. It's grace, a free gift. Oh, I loved it. Now, you might think, okay, that's the only incident of these things happening in life, but not true. I mean, real quick, again, everything that I'm putting here is already on paper, so you'll have it to take home with you. The Israelites, 400 years in captivity. Okay, there they are in captivity. Fine, not good that it is. They were slaves. And by the way, there was 10 plagues. Okay, and then when God delivered them from the 10 plagues, and we don't have time to get into this, but I love it when I see something, I want to share it, but I want to keep it part of what we're doing so it's not a chipmunk crossing. All right, 10 plagues. Each one of those plagues represented a god of the, not of the Israelites, of the Egyptians. Now, think about this. Each one, the frogs. Okay, remember, the houses were all covered with frogs. So a frog god. Can you imagine praying at night with your kids, Heavenly Frog God, I thank you for not croaking. Sorry, but I mean, really, think about it, though. That was one of their gods. Oh, how about the lice god? Heavenly lice, I thank you for not falling into my rice. I mean, when you think about it, but those were the gods. Each plague represented a god. 10 plagues. They watched all this in Goshen. They watched no flies. In Egypt, they watched flies. No death in Goshen. Death in Egypt. Well, they watched all of these. And then finally, Pharaoh says, get out of here. He probably didn't say it that nicely either. So away they go. So away they go. And after 50 days of travel, of seeing all of this, out pops a golden calf. Out pops words from them saying, where's our water? What's this manna? What's this? 40 years God fed them. And by the way, if anybody's going to design food, when you buy food, sometimes, unless you're being healthy about it, you look at the side and you see all the different things on there. If this manna came from God, if this quail came, talk about a perfect burger. Think of a quail burger. I mean, I'm sorry, but there it is. You know, cut the wings, make the meat. There you have it. They go, wow, they had the perfect meal every day for 40 years. They didn't have to go out and do it. Todd, bless his heart, he's got to go out and do it for us. You know, with his chickens that he's going to have. A chicken fajitas, right? Yeah. Got it. Okay. McDonald's will probably be knocking at your door. So I thought, wow, and out pops even water. Look, I mean, even Moses. Wow, he taps it too many times. Moses gets to the promised land, but he's that finish line for him, he couldn't go over. All because of the tap, tap, tap instead of the tap. Whew, wow. Then what do they do after that? Everything happens and they say, we want a king. Here they had God taking care of them, food and everything else, shoes, everything. They say, no. Then later they say, hey, get out of here, God. Basically, we want a king. All these different things. You take back even further. Adam and Eve. First man, first woman. After the fall, before the fall, they were perfect. After the fall, they were not. And nowhere in the Word of God do I ever see where Adam and Eve ever said, I'm sorry. David said it. And God said, David's a man after my own heart. That's the only one he ever said it about. And David said, I'm sorry. Wow, that says so much. The very first emotion after the fall. Here they are in perfect paradise, perfect Eden, perfect everything. And the very first emotion that happens after the fall, Adam, hey, like God knew where he was. Adam, yes, God, well, we hid because we were afraid. Fear, the very first emotion ever listed in the Word of God after the fall, perfection, Eden, Garden of Eden. After that, fields, thorns, thistles, fear. Childbirth, pain. Work, sweat, brow. Doesn't produce what it was producing before. David said, I'm sorry. Talk about grace. Where were they, Adam and Eve? I don't see sorry anywhere. If it's there, it's hidden. I haven't seen it. Ah, how easy it is for us to take God's grace for granted. To move from being amazed by it to being accustomed to it. We mistakenly assume, that's like without bearing, without facts, upon God's goodness. And we presume, means with presupposition, like because it happened before, it should happen now. We presume upon his mercy as if it were owed to us. It is not owed to us. Not at all. Not in the least. Grace is getting what we don't deserve and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is God's unmerited favor coming to us despite our sin because of Jesus Christ. Grace, by its very nature, is amazing because God is amazing. That's in the papers too, by the way. I love that. Whoa! Grace is by very nature is amazing because God is amazing. If God wasn't amazing, grace wouldn't be amazing. But he's God. You can't get bigger than God. Grace is not owed. It's not merited. It's not deserved. It's not earned. But rather, grace is granted sovereignly and surprisingly. Not surprising to God. He's never surprised. No. Aha! Oh, my goodness. No, God always knows. We don't. He does. By the all-powerful and yet all-encompassing gentle love of God. Grace. Amazing grace. Life. Life and all its attendant blessings is an amazing gift from God. An eternal life with its endless joy, endless joy, is even a greater gift. Why is it a greater gift? Because it's for eternity, beyond the measure of time. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. After that, well, the time wasn't before God was. I mean, God always has, but after that, for eternity, and you can't come back and get like Satan's whole purpose: steal, kill, and destroy. Christ said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more than abundant." Okay, two pathways. Oh, yeah, kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, life and more abundant. Hello, door A, door B. You choose. Once you choose, you can't unchoose. We've chosen. We've chosen to believe the promise that God has put forth. Life and all its attendant blessing is an amazing gift from God, and eternal life with its endless joys an even greater gift. Christ said, I've come that you might have life and have it more than abundant. According to the Gospel of John, we have, through Christ, received from God grace upon grace, grace replacing grace. I'm thinking, well, what do you mean grace replacing grace? So I go to 1 John 1:16, and I read, and it says, of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Well, yeah, but that doesn't say grace replacing grace. I mean, come on, what am I missing here? Oh, yeah, there we have it. Wow. Even, I mean, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came with. Okay, but it doesn't say grace replacing grace. Ah, but I go to the Bollinger Bible. Oh, thank you. I go to the inside part where the concordance is. And I begin to read just for this one little verse. Oh, there we go. Grace for grace equals grace in place of grace. New grace. Continuous and unintermittent grace, ever fresh grace, according to the need. Get that, according to the need. Whose need? Your need, my need. That's God. That's all they have in that word about grace replacing grace, huh? What do you mean? Okay, back to okay, grace and truth. In the days of Moses, there was grace, and the law itself was an exhibition of truth. But when Jesus Christ came, he was himself the truth, the very personification, not a truth, he was the truth. Yes, he spoke truth, but the point is he is truth. Not a truth of this, a truth of that. No, he's the truth. The very personification of truth, and his life, death, and resurrection were the supreme manifestation of grace. Grace! Wow! No wonder grace is amazing, and it should be, because God's amazing. You can't get a bigger God than God. You can't say move over. Although the Israelites, hey, we want this golden calf. Oh, we threw the jewelry in, and oh, look what popped out. It didn't pop out. You popped out, because you weren't focusing on God. You and I live under the showerhead of God's ever-flowing grace, and that showerhead never goes dead. The water never runs out. It's always there. Okay, I'm going to go through these real quickly in terms of some things that happen here. I'm just going to... Okay, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, we have a saving grace. What do you mean saving grace? For by grace are you saved, through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a saving grace. Okay, fine. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, we have a strong grace. Strong, like Rebecca's got that weight. Strong. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's a strong grace. Okay, keep going. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, we have a sufficient grace. Really? Show me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sufficient grace, all sufficient. You don't need to come back for more. It's all there. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, we have an identifying grace. Identifying? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Remember Popeye the Sailor, some of you that are older? Dagmar isn't going to remember this. Daniel's not going to. But Popeye the Sailor said, I am what I am. And he ate his spinach and he got strong and could beat up Pluto and all the bad guys. I am what I am. What did Paul say? As Rebecca referred to dung, he called all everything that he had dung compared to Christ. And God said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he could have focused on his past. Because he killed people. He had men, women, children dead because of his word, because of his standing, because of his power. But he didn't look at what was behind, but rather what was ahead. That was Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What did he say in 2 Timothy? He said, I fought a good fight. There's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. How did he know that? And he said, the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, is going to give it to me. He wasn't pretending. That's Paul, based on what he did, what he knew of the Word of God. So, any good that comes to us, any good in us, any good done by us, is God's good work in Christ in us. I thought, oh my gosh. Okay. A few examples. Grace. And this I don't know that we have, but that's fine, because the papers are all up here. Grace, John 1:16. And of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. That's not taking Jesus' fullness and taking part. No, he didn't get empty like a coffee pot. Of all of Jesus' fullness, we have. We didn't get like a filling like this weight, that weight. No, it's all there. Wow, I just love that. Grace. Listen to this. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Oh, my mind has... I love it though. Even if I don't understand it, which I do, but even if I didn't. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Oh, grace. Of course God can forgive you. But he'd rather be blessing you and using you. Oh, grace. Oh, listen to this one. As long as your heart beats, thump, 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 in your chest, as long as your heart beats in your chest, there's a whole teaching just on that alone, but we cannot get into that. Oh, as long as your heart beats, yeah. There's a man back east who waited a year to hear a story about a heart. 85 years old, we saw him this summer, and he said, "Where's my story?" That night, until 1 o'clock in the morning, he got his story. And I asked him at 2 o'clock in the morning, was it worth it? Oh, he said, there's no way that we could unworth it at all. It was very much, so, there we go, heart. So, as long as your heart beats in your chest, there remains hope for a better tomorrow. Oh, God, hope. Without that hope, it's hopeless. But that thump, 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 if your heart's not thumping, you're dead. And if you're dead, well, there's no hope. I mean, in that sense, because you're dead. Grace. This one. Look at this one. Jesus will come into any... Oh, God, there it is. Thank you. Great. Jesus will come into any situation where he is invited. Invited. He cannot slam the door open. He can knock, 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 knock. But only you can open the door. Only I can open the door. If you invite him in, what's he going to do? Stand outside saying, "Sorry, Charlie, you missed me. I got to go take care of somebody else, Al, because Al needs me more. Daniel, he's taller, so he needs me less." Well, I mean, grace. The devil can't take you to hell, but if you let him, he will keep you heaven. Steal, kill, and destroy. He can't have your eternal life, so why would he bother with me? He cannot have it. God promises that. God can't break his promise. I break my promises. God doesn't. Why would he still want to deal with me, Satan? For my rewards. He can't have my eternal life. But he can darn well steal my rewards if I allow it. I. Isn't that what Satan said to God? I want to sit on the throne. I want to be like the most... Oh, I like that. I want to be like the most high. I. 6 times he says I. And convinced 1/3 of all the angels... Get this. I never walked with God. Hey, God, how are we doing today? Oh, the lawn looks good. You have a thing. The angels did. I never did. 1/3 of the angels who saw God, who with spiritual eyes, they got tricked. And they are now part of not being with God, and they can never change back again. Look at the amazing grace that we have, that we can go to God, become born again, and have all of what God promises, and eternal life on top of that. Someday, I mean, I look at a picture of me, 8 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old, 70, 60, I'm 70-something now. Okay, yeah, I go, whoa, who is that guy? And I talk about these old people, I go, well, wait a second, that's me. Oh, my gosh. But that wasn't intended to be, but here it is, but God's promise is an eternity. And even having that, okay, stop there. Grace, God, I like this. God wants to reward your victories, not rub your nose in your history. Oh, my history is my past. Boy, have you ever noticed once you sin, first of all, there was the temptation. Then there was taking the sin. Then after the sin. If we could only see the kickbacks when we get our kicks, maybe we wouldn't get our kicks. But we don't. We focus on the kicks, and that's what he wants you to focus on. He wants you to focus on the joy. The joy comes from up there. The other comes from down there. Knock, knock, your choice. God only goes where he's invited. We have to open the door. Grace, wow. Oh, Live your life. Oh, I like this. I like them all. But live your life below with your heart set on His kingdom above. We're not going to get to come back and get 5 more pounds for a crown of righteousness or 10 more. No! Once this life is over, it's over. Eternity will be there, but you can never come back and get what you didn't get. So whatever we do, we better do it now. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow or not. Yeah, I'd like to believe I'm going to be here tomorrow, but the point is, we're here today. Our life will end one day, one way or the other. Christ coming back while we're alive, show you a mystery, or after we die. But it's what we're doing that's going to make all the difference in the world, because you can't come back and get 10 more ounces of this. Oh, gosh, I can just get that crown of righteousness. Oh, I see now. I was missing one little jewel there. Hey, God, no, you're already up there. But you. So if we're going to do something, we better do it now, because that's what God tells us over and over and over again with His amazing grace. Okay, now, we're going to wrap this up, and I know you don't have this. Billy Graham. I love a lot of things. Okay, Billy Graham. And then remember the front when we started off with the weather was good, the weather was hot? Okay, we're going to connect that with the ending. The ending's coming right now. Okay. Billy Graham, I will say that here's what I wrote. Billy Graham said, "We that God will give us the strength and the resources that we need to live through any situation in life that He, God, ordains." Last sentence. The will of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Listen again. The will of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Billy Graham said that about God Almighty. God's not going to leave us. My gosh, He paid that price. You've seen moms with babies, how much they love them and everything else. God's going to say, I can't do that. But He already paid that price. So why are we trying to pay it again every time we sin? Grace. God's grace is there. Okay. God's grace equals God's riches at Christ's expense. Here's the last quote. Now remember the first quote. Weather. Kind of alliteration of those words, right? This came from a guy that nobody knows. He died. Nobody got his name. But he wrote down this quote. And we don't have it here. Okay. Yeah, he was an old Scottish, so picture a Scottish saint with maybe a kilt on or something like that. And he wrote this. He said, "May God grant us grace to feel our need of grace. Then give us grace to ask for grace. Then give us grace to receive grace. Oh, then when grace has been given, give us grace to be grateful." Grateful, grateful, grateful. That's our responsibility. God's laid this all out for us. Yeah, it was paradise. Yeah, everything was fantastic. And then we get the weeds and the thorns. But even with the weeds and the thorns and the thistles, I'm sure glad I'm married to Rebecca. I'm sure glad that we have joy. I'm so glad that we have eternal life as a promise. Not as a catch you tomorrow. Hey, no, wait, come back, God. I'm here today. Hello. Tom talked about hair. Yeah, God's numbered each and every hair individually on your head by name. Bobby, Sally, Susie, Harry. Harry knows which hair you've lost. I mean, that's bigger than 10 and then 9 because you threw one away. No, He knows number 10's gone or number 7's. Look at the bigness of God and the glory that He wants for us to have, what He makes available with the amazing grace. That's God. Now, Jagmar, you've got to remind me of something because I'm at the end. Anything else about it? Is it John Newton? The song. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, John. By the way, the most recorded song ever in the history was Amazing Grace. We know John Newton wrote it. And he did. I mean, a slave trader, a captain. And by the way, he was so bad. His mom died and different things happened. But when you go to SeaWorld and these places and you see a lady walking with her purse and they have professional mimes who go behind them and they walk like that too. So that, or the guy walks like this and so he walks behind them like that. Well, this guy, John Newton, he would watch the preachers and ministers, and this one guy, a missionary, had gotten mauled by a lion. So he kind of walked with his arm behind him like this and he kind of talked a little bit like this. bald in the face as well. So he, John Newton, would mimic the preachers that came. And even his sailors would say to him, "Hey, Captain John, we don't know if there's a God up there." I'm not quoting verbatim, but the point is, you shouldn't be taunting God like this. And one day, boom, he gets convicted as he's doing this thing. I want to try and imitate. Wow, he got convicted. And he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. And we know he wrote it because he's responsible for it. But the thing that I found out, and this was from a guy called Whitney Phipps who worked with Billy Graham, and he sings with a baritone voice like that. Whitney Phipps said, and we met him at Shadow Mountain a few years ago and talked to him, and I was so thankful to be able to talk to him. And he said, "You know, yes, Amazing Grace, we have that, and God is amazing." He said, "But did you know?" And I didn't, but now I do because he told me. Now I'm going to tell you, you're going to know. I loved what he said. He said, "The words came from John Newton for Amazing Grace. What a life that he went through." He said, "But the melody for that song, nobody knows where it came from. It's a mystery. We won't know till eternity who wrote the melody for the most famous song ever recorded in the world, Amazing Grace, until after Judgment Day, because it's a secret. But the song is here, and we're ready to go. So if you'd like to play Amazing Grace, that's the end of my teaching, and the song will come. Give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand for being beautiful, patient listeners.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you today just that we're alive to thank you. We just thank you that we have these moments in time. We're thankful that we have time, that you created time. And more than that, breath for us to breathe, air for us to breathe in. Father, and just that you're the God of all. You want all mankind to come to you, Father, and you've made it available. But the one way that it only could be done, a perfect sacrifice with your Son. We thank you that he obeyed you each and every time, and that he's that perfect example. We thank you that we have this life and that your promise is eternal life, Father. And we just stand in awe of you, your almighty grace, that song, John Newton, his switch, his change, all these things, Father. And just, yes, we're going to slip up, but walk forward. Thank you for your forgiveness. You never leave us empty. You always want us to come in with the fullness of you, with the fullness of your Son. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son, and you are amazing because you're our God. Amen. Thank you.